Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that you have bestowed upon us the blessing once more of life. We are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to hear the gospel tonight. And are thankful, Lord, for your holy and divine word, which you're able to open up and to see for ourselves whether those things are so. We pray, Lord, for the right understanding tonight, that when we are able to read and hear the message that Brother Williams will proclaim, that we will accept it as your pure and unrated truth, and that we receive with meekness this engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on. Now, we ask you now, your Bible, open it up and follow along with our speaker tonight. Our speaker is the person, Brother Blake Williams. He's preaching at the Highway 92 Church of Christ, North Church of Christ. Blake, come on, talk to us tonight. We know you got the topic been assigned to you. Faith alone. We know that's a false doctrine, but tell us why.
Anytime we have the opportunity to look at the Word of God, we should be thrilled because we are able to study that Word that James chapter 1 and verse 21 says that is able to save man's soul. I want us to start by very clearly stating the undeniable facts that has been underlined all throughout this week, that without faith, man cannot be saved. Faith is essential to our salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that goes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is essential, but topic tonight is asking whether or not man needs to have faith. The topic tonight is asking whether or not faith by itself, faith with nothing else, is sufficient for man to be saved. We must understand something very important about God's Word. Anytime we look at any book, any conversation, any message, that is, it is important for us not to look at one piece, not to look at just one part, but rather to look at the entirety. In fact, the writer of Psalms in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 160 said, the entirety of God's word is truth. Unless we are willing to look at it in its entirety, we're not going to understand what all truth is. And while it is true that faith is essential, now let us look in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 14 at the question of whether or not faith alone is sufficient. What better place to go than to the very place that the inspired author makes the question, and then he is going to discuss how it is that this is not so, and then he's going to give a proper picture of faith and how it is that faith must have works in order to be profitable. Notice with me the question, James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can a faith that is completely absent of works, can a faith that doesn't anything but is faith by itself, is that able to save man? And how James is going to answer this question is going to be from verse 15 of chapter 2 all the way through verse 26. He's going to use illustrations. How great illustrations are, and how easy it is to see the points that are being made when we can see the pictures being described to us by this inspired writer of God's word. The very first two pictures are the answer to this question, and then the last two pictures are going to demonstrate to us the proper view towards man's salvation and how faith properly fits into it. Notice our first picture, James chapter 2, starting in verse 15. James asks the question, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, do not give them the things which are needed for the body? What does it profit? Consider this picture for a moment. Can you imagine seeing someone you know, someone you love, anyone at this point where they are not able to eat, where they do not have the clothing that they need, they don't have those things that we view as a necessity in our life. Can you imagine seeing that, understanding the problems that they face, them knowing the very problems that they face, and simply telling them, go be warmed and filled. Go have what it is that you need. But doing absolutely nothing with that knowledge. That is the very picture that James is describing for his readers of what a faith that is absent works is. It is just like telling that person that is naked and destitute of their daily food, of their daily needs, go be warm and filled. But there's no change that happens. That does not help them to fix the situation that they are in, but rather it is profitless, in fact, to everyone in the situation. Even so, notice, I'm going to conclude this picture, thus also, just as this is profitless, so faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. A faith that does not have works, dead. That's what he says. Can faith save him? 17 says that a faith without works is dead. So faith alone, he says, isn't sufficient. But if that wasn't clear enough, James is going to give us another picture. Not only is a faith without works profitless, it is also hopeless. It is useless. There is no value to it whatsoever. Notice his second picture, verse 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. I want to stop at verse 18 for just a moment and consider something. Think about the illogical situation James is describing. Notice this person that has a faith but no works. He says, let me show you my faith, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to do anything that is going to make it clear that anyone can see that I have this faith. Around someone that claims to have a characteristic. That claims, well, let's use for an example that they're brave or they're courageous. But any time a situation arises where courage is needed or bravery is needed, they are running in the opposite direction. A situation like that. What is it that that person has demonstrated by their actions? That they don't have that characteristic. So too, James is describing this picture. The one who says he has faith, but he doesn't have works, he can't demonstrate to anyone because this is the one that doesn't even truly have that faith that he needs. Verse 19, notice the vividness of the picture. You believe that there is one God? Well, good job. You believe that there's one God. That is something that is necessary. You have to believe that in order to be saved, but notice, going to describe to them that's not enough. Even the demons believe and tremble. If you remember back to Jesus' earthly ministry, his power over demons when they had possessed individuals, and how they listened to his very words, consider the fear and the great knowledge that they had of who Christ was. Look in Matthew chapter 8 very quickly. Matthew chapter 8. Here we find that Jesus has come upon a man who is possessed by a demon, and as he comes toward them, notice verse 29. And suddenly they cried out, being the demons that were possessing this man, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? They understood who he was. They understood the great power that he had. And notice, come here. to torment us for the time. They knew his great power. They knew he was who he claimed to be, even though many, the Jews at the time, they were rejecting Christ. They understood it. Mean that they are saying they know who he is. They believe that there is one God. They know there is one God, and they know that God had power over them. The faith that we see of those of this intellectual faith that didn't have actions behind it, the demons. As we look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, as he's talking and describing judgment, Jesus Christ is. And he says that about those who are unfaithful, that he will say to them to depart from him, that they will be cast into hell that was prepared for who? For the devil and his demons, for the devil and his angels, the very agents that were man to fall. The very creation of God. But they believe, they have faith in who God is. Faith that was backed up by actions. How many people would like to stand on the day of judgment? Christ, as we know, we will all stand one day before that judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, and to say, but God, I had the same faith. I believed that you were. I believed, and I even trembled. Wasn't willing to do what it is that you said. Notice that faith was not sufficient. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is useless. It is dead. There is no value to it at all. It does not help the one who has it. We are willing to have a faith that acts, a faith that works, that faith, that intellectual knowledge that God is. The intellectual knowledge of God's word is not sufficient to save us. And now as we come to verse 21, we see James is going to change the direction with his last two pictures. Now he is going to describe a faith that is able to save, a faith that allows man to be justified in God's eyes by two pictures. The first of which is going to be, notice in verse 21 how it begins. But do you want to know, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified, our word there, by works? Was he justified by faith? Absolutely. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, deal with that very clearly, that he was justified by faith. But here we see in the book of James that it wasn't faith alone, but rather it was faith that was coupled with works of obedience when God commanded Abraham. Abraham did. When it comes to our everyday life, we understand that in order to have a gift, in order to have given anything, there can be conditions placed upon that, and there may be one condition. And we can say we are able to vote in the United States. We're United States citizens. At the same point, we can say we are able to vote because we chose to register to vote. By the same token, we can say that we are able to vote in the United States because we have not been disqualified by criminal charges. All three of these things are equally valid, just as man can be justified, faith, as is made very clear in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. But also how it is that works are also necessary to be justified, just as Abraham himself justified by works. But notice these are works of faith, not works of merit, not works that are making him meritorious of favor with God. Back to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son. Verse 1 is referring back to the events of Genesis chapter 22. Imagine yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment. Imagine the son you have been waiting for. The son that God has been promising to you since you left your homeland some 25 years prior to his birth. Imagine being told after he is finally born, Abraham, go and offer your son on the altar to me on the mountain in Moriah. Can you imagine that feeling? Can you imagine the very things that would be going through Abraham's mind? See, in Genesis chapter 22 is Abraham did. Now, was there anything about that action in of itself, of that journey, going up there, preparing the altar, placing Isaac upon it, and being ready to fulfill the command of God? Was there anything in it of itself, in those very actions, that caused Abraham to garner favor with God? No. But rather, notice, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. It was the very fact that Abraham was willing. He was willing to leave his home. He was willing to go and to follow the very commands of God all the way to being willing to offer that son of promise. Faith, because he was doing the very things that God had commanded him to do. Nothing in the act of itself to Abraham to have any meritorious joy in accomplishing something, but it was the fact that he was willing to serve God, that he was willing to give up anything, even his only son, in order to be pleasing unto God. That was how God viewed it. You look in Genesis chapter 22. Faith was made perfect through the very works that Abraham took by faith. Those very things that God said, and so to our faith, spoken about Monday night, it comes from one place. Our actions of faith, the way in which we fulfill those very works that we must do in order to be right in God's eyes, is simply because God has said, this is the condition in order to be pleasing unto me, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For time's sake, go ahead and we're going to skip down. Picture. The next picture, James chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. We are reminded of our actions all the way back. Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua chapter 2 is the actual event. Notice, likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? In Joshua chapter 2, two spies were sent to the land of Jericho. And while they are there, the king of Jericho finds out, and they are staying in the house of Rahab. And the king sends these two men to Rahab, or this group of men to Rahab, and asks for her to deliver these men to him. But she doesn't. She hides them. And she sends them out scarlet cord. And it is from these actions that we are referring to, that she is said to be justified in God's eyes. But notice, it wasn't just works that justified her, but rather it was faith also. Look back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, where we see it is by faith Rahab perished with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies in peace. By her very actions, by her actions that demonstrated the faith that she had in God's power and God's ability to deliver the city to the hands of the Israelites, we see that Rahab, the harlot, was justified. Not because of any great task she had done. Not because God deserved to spare her when the whole city was being condemned because their iniquity was full, using the language from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. But rather because Rahab the harlot had faith in knowing that God was able. And she requested, and they chose, and God chose to save her. How glorious of a thing this is for us to look at, understanding the workings. Faith that saves. Notice verse 26 of James chapter 2. We're going to conclude looking at these pictures and look at a little more detail. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Notice how clear scripture makes it. Notice how plain it makes it. The question is asked, what profit is there, James says in verse 14. If someone has faith but no works, can faith alone save him? Response, the answer, verse 17, thus also faith by itself. It does not have works, is dead. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Do you see that faith was working together? And by works, faith was made. 24, you see then that a man is justified by works, by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, verse 26, so faith without works is dead also. How much clearer can James make it? But then the question many may have is, but if we have to do works in order to be saved, is that not man saying that he can earn his salvation? Unfortunately, many have viewed this, and this is where this teaching of faith-only salvation has even come from. And they turn to places such as Ephesians chapter 2, which we're going to look at, and verse 8. Without looking at the context, without looking at what it is and the entirety of the context of what is being said, notice as Paul is writing Ephesians chapter 2, he starts with the very basis of man's salvation, and it isn't man's actions, but rather it's God. Without God, salvation is not possible for man. For by grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. Through. It is not. Rather, it is a gift of God. So our question is this. If we have to do something to be saved, does that change the fact that it is a gift from God? And the answer that we see, in fact, here in Ephesians chapter 2 is no. Because notice what he says in verse, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Is there any action I can engage in that causes me salvation? Certainly not. In fact, it is a gift. Consider also Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Would I deserve the just punishment of my sins according to God's word? Death. For the wages of sin is death. Gift of God. That gift of God that God has given to mankind and given him the ability to access his eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is not of works of merit. It is nothing that I have done that causes God to owe me salvation. But rather, notice verse 10. It doesn't say that there are no works. It may not be works of merit causing me to deserve salvation. But it is clear that we are to work even outside. James chapter 2, we see this. Notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Notice. are saved by faith alone, why would we be referred to by God at his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them? Notice the types of works that are required of us, not works that we decide are going to make us deserving of salvation, not works that we pick, but rather the works of God, rather the works that God has chosen, he has laid out, and he has prepared beforehand that we should conduct them. We're going to look at one example as we look at how it is that we are saved and how it's nothing that I deserve. Consider the statement made in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Here we see in referring back to Joshua chapter 6. Children of Israel, Joshua chapter 5, where the children of Israel are commanded by God, go, take the land of Jericho. This is how you're to do it. For 6 days, you are to walk around this city. Okay. And on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. And when you've walked around it that 7th time, the priests are to blow the trumpet, and the people are to shout, and the wall will be laid flat. Did it. And that was the result. Consider for a moment, did they deserve for this wall to fall? Is this a conventional way that one would cause the wall to fall? Certainly not. But rather, it was God that did it. But he placed a condition on it, and it was only when they fulfilled what God had said for them to do that they received it. Even so, salvation is no different. Notice, God was giving them this land, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 9, not because they deserved it, not because of their great righteousness, but because he was using them to punish the people of that land. He was giving it to them as a gift. Even so, we don't deserve salvation because we have chosen to sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve death, Romans chapter 6. And verse 23, but we are saved by the grace of God, by him sending Christ, by the very love that he has, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it is from that we can escape those wages of sin and receive that gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It is by God's grace, just as he informed Joshua how it is they were to take the city, that we are informed how it is we are to be saved today. Consider the words of Paul to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. But what we must understand is that it is not without obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 makes this abundantly clear. Without obedience, we will not be saved. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 begins this way. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. He became the cause of eternal salvation to all those who... It is imperative, if we are going to be saved, that we obey God's word. That is the only way. God has done his part. He has offered that sacrifice. He has given us the instructions of how it is we are to be saved. But he's left it up to us to choose whether or not we are going to, through faith, be willing to obey God and his holy word. You see, he's told us if we want to be saved, we must hear his word, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We must believe. We must believe that Jesus is, John chapter 8 and verse 24. We must believe that he died, that he was buried, he was crucified for our sins, that he rose again ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. We must believe that God is and that he will reward us if we diligently seek him. And based upon that belief, we must be willing to repent of our sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. We must be willing to confess Jesus Christ before men, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. He who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must be willing to submit to God's command, not argue with God about his plan for man to be saved, but rather submit to God the way in which he has instructed for us to have our sins washed away. Paul was instructed by Ananias as he's retelling this conversion account in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It is by this we are added to the one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. We are added to the church, that one church that Christ established, that one church that Christ died for, the church of Christ, that body of the saved. Consider that he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. How important it is that I am a part of that one body done through obedience. And we only stay in that spot choose to walk in those good works that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 describes by being faithful unto death, as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says. How important it is that I don't simply have a faith that is intellectual, but rather I have a faith in God and his promises that I know if I keep his word, I have eternal life. How important it is so that we can be a part of that one church, so that we can be a part of the saved. Brother Tommy, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Blake. We appreciate you so very much. Certainly was a powerful message, and it needed to be heard, needed to be taught. If you're on the call tonight and you believe that you can just believe or have faith in God and you're on your way to heaven, without being baptized, what some call a work, we call that an active obedient faith. Whatever God says for us to do, that's what we do in order to be saved. God has done his part, as Brother Blake has said tonight. Now we must do our part. It's not a work, it's obedience. We talk about obedience. So just believing will not get you to heaven, my friends. Here's what you need to do. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have not obeyed the truth. If you have not been baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you haven't been obedient to God. You may believe in Jesus, but there's going to be some on the day of judgment who will be shocked when Jesus said to them, as he said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that do the will of my Father, many will say unto me, and listen to this part, Lord, do we not prophesy in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and done many wonderful works? These were believers. They had faith. But Jesus said, I will confess to them, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. In other words, they did not obey God. They believed, but they didn't obey. But so did the devils. They believed, as Brother Blake has pointed out tonight. But obedience, we believe that faith and obedience goes together. Some call it work. Work is, baptism is not a work. Baptism is obedience, because that's what God told us to do. Thank you, Blake. We appreciate you very much for preaching tonight and pray to the listening audience. If you're on the call tonight, you want to be baptized, get back with the person who put you on the call. You want to obey the gospel. You have that belief, but you got to carry out the obedience. Get back with the friend, a family member who invited you to hear us, and they will make the arrangements for Churches of Christ close to you and teachers or preachers and elders that can help you with further studies if you need it. Or perhaps if you want to, just reach out to me, go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and I will make those arrangements for you, no matter where you are in our listening audience. Now, if you want to go back and listen to Brother Blake's message tonight, it's recorded. He gave a lot of scripture and 30 minutes of good teaching. Yeah, you go back and listen to it. Slow it down, rewind it. Go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's Holland Heights. COC.net, and you click on Nationwide Gospel Call. All of our sermons are there. Hundreds of sermons are there since the month of May. All these great speakers on great topics. different topics. You may want to know more about the One Church, or more about why we take communion every Sunday, more about why we give, more about why we don't call our preachers reverend, doctors, and fathers. All those topics are on there. What are we doing on this program? Trying to teach everyone that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, you got to do it the way God said do it in the scriptures. It's not difficult. You just got to believe the Bible is right over you. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, who you gave to the world. You so loved us. You gave your only begotten. He gave his life. Suffered that death on the cross. Shed the blood. Then washed our sins away in baptism by faith. That same blood purchased his bride, his church. The only church you can read about in your book, in your word, the scripture. That is your Son's church, the church of Christ. We understand that we cannot add man-made doctrines. Take away from your word. We got to believe it like it's written. Now we pray for our listening audience, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. They too will understand. The truth is being taught on this program. They want to obey and they've been seeking truth. They're hearing it for themselves. Now we pray that they will receive it with meekness. Your word, which is able to save their precious soul. Thank you for Brother Blake. Thank you for the Silsby congregation there. A sound congregation with a good young preacher. Thank you for his father, Brother Glenn Williams, who is also an elder in Bonner, Texas. We pray for him, his ministry. We thank God, thank you, Father, for men like him who raise up young men to carry that bloodstained banner on. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thursday night, tomorrow night, closing it out, my friend, Brother Darren Williams, Chula Vista, California. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That would end our first week. Faith, speaking about the same thing, faith next week, hope kicking us off to the Gary Collie, someone who's been helping me along the way here, a very wise man. You don't want to miss him tonight. He'll kick off the hope discussion. Speaking about the same thing, hope, and we'll carry it out through the whole week. We'll talk more about the other speakers as well. And then we just want to say to those who are on the call tonight, a young man, Blake is 25 and preaching a sound doctrine already. What about other men who want to preach? We're putting on our website all of the schools that are represented on our call. The Kingsbury Road Church of Christ School of Preaching, Brown Trail School of Preaching, Florida School of Preaching, the Southwest School of Biblical Studies, Memphis School of Preaching, and Bear Valley. We are so thankful for those who, if you're on the call, brothers, and you want your school listed, we will list it. If it's sound. Amen. So, yeah, if it's a good school. And then now I don't want to leave out the Holland Heights Church of Christ Ministerial Program. We put out some great preachers. You heard some of them that come through our program here at Holland Heights. We're in this list of sound doctrine congregations who are presenting preachers. So, young men, if you want to preach, consider one of these schools. So you come on the elders or preachers. Now, I'm not promoting universities. I'm promoting congregations that are hosted and directed by elders and preachers who are sound in the brotherhood. We love you all. I hope Brother Brooks is helping you in a special way. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for praying for us. And thank those who have supported us financially. Wow, you all have been great. Thank you. It's not necessary. It's not something we solicit. But those who want to do it, go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. Go to online giving. You can give. This is a great evangelistic outreach. We're going a whole year. We're going through May. So if you want to support a great call, you can do it. However, we know God's going to provide. So that's why we don't talk about it a lot. But for those who have the heart to give to this program, go ahead and give to it. And we will promise you it'll be used for this program and for the nationwide outreach to a lost and dying world. I pray y'all have a good night. We love you. God bless.